What we also forget is that the conventional consensus reality we call the human condition is itself inexorably and strongly conditioned in the Pavlovian sense. As a result of this lifelong conditioning, we are not really as free as we think when we think we are free to do whatever we want, which may mean that we are totally at the mercy of our own mind's habitual grasping and pushing away. We forget or do not know that we do not have to be perpetually caught up in reactions to events, in our often unconscious decisions to do this or that, relate in this or that way, see things this way or that way, avoid this or that, forget this or that, including that all this conditioning adds up to the appearance of a life, but often one that remains disturbingly superficial and unsatisfying, with a lingering sense that there must be something more, some deeper meaning, some possibility for being comfortable in one's own skin, independent of conditions, whether things are momentarily good, bad, pleasant, or unpleasant. We feel such discomfort, such disappointment, such discontentment, and realize at times that it may be all-pervasive, a kind of silent background radiation of dissatisfaction in all of us that, as a rule, we don't talk about. But when we look into what that disaffection, that background unsatisfactoriness actually is, when we are drawn to actually question and look into who is suffering in this moment, we are undertaking an exploration of another dimension of reality, one that offers unrecognized but ever available freedom from the confining prison of the conventional thought world. Our very interest in freedom from suffering and in not causing suffering unnecessarily and unwittingly becomes a doorway into realizing a new dimension of being and an expanded way of living based on the primacy of relationality and interconnectedness. The process feels like nothing other than an awakening from a consensus trance, a dream world, and thus all of a sudden acquiring multiple degrees of freedom, many more options for seeing and responding, and for meeting wholeheartedly and with mindfulness whatever situations we find ourselves in that before we might have just reacted to out of deeply embedded and conditioned habits. Just by asking, for instance, who is suffering, who doesn't want what is happening to be happening, who is frightened, who is thinking, who is feeling insecure or unwanted or lost, or what am I? We are initiating nothing less than a rotation in consciousness into another dimension, orthogonal, which means at right angles, to conventional reality. Nothing needs to change. It's just that your world immediately becomes a lot bigger and more real. Everything old looks different because it is now seen in a new light, an awareness that is no longer confined by the conventional dimensionality and mindset. When you have an experience of rotating in consciousness so that your world does all of a sudden feel bigger and more real, you are catching a glimpse of what Buddhists refer to as absolute or ultimate reality, a dimensionality that is beyond conditioning, but that is capable of recognizing conditioning as it arises. It is awareness itself, the knowing capacity of mind itself. When we reside in awareness, we are resting in what we might call an orthogonal reality that is more fundamental than conventional reality and every bit as real. Both pertain, moment by moment, and both demand their due if we are to inhabit and embody the full scope of our humanness, our true nature as sentient beings. When we inhabit this orthogonal dimension, the problems of the conventional reality are seen from a different perspective, in one more spacious than that of a small-minded self-interest. The situations we face can thus admit possibilities of freedom, resolution, acceptance, creativity, compassion, and wisdom that were literally inconceivable within the conventional mindset. This expanded universe of freedom is the promise of mindfulness both in our individual lives and in the world. In the world, it can involve a rotation in consciousness on the part of many people in a relatively short time. Such a shift can immediately reveal the nature of a difficult situation in a new light, in all its complexity and its simplicity, with added dimensions and degrees of freedom and possibility. That is what an orthogonal perspective offers. That is what mindfulness offers, insight into what is most fundamental and most important and most easily forgotten or lost. The conventional reality is not wrong. It is merely incomplete. And therein lies the source of both our suffering and our liberation from suffering. We are not strangers to orthogonal shifts. An authentic apology, for instance, as Aaron Lazar deftly demonstrates in his book on apology, can instantly dissolve long-standing rancor, resentment, humiliation, guilt, shame in both parties and lead to almost instantaneous healing, forgiveness, expressions of love and caring among both individual people and even between nations.